May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 727. Oh, that I knew the secret place where I might find my God. I'd spread my wants before his face and pour my woes abroad. Hymn 727. Reading is from the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 26. Isaiah, chapter 26. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord for ever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high. The lofty city, he layeth it low. He layeth it low, even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou, most upright, dost weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name, and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let favour be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see, but they shall see, and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. O Lord our God, other lords beside thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. They are dead, they shall not live. They are deceased, they shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them, and made all their memory to perish. Thou hast increased the nation, O Lord. Thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified. Thou hadst removed it far unto all the ends of the earth. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Like as a woman with child, that draweth near the time of her delivery, is in pain, and crieth out in her pangs. So have we been in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child, we have been in pain, we have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth. Neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. Amen. May the Lord bless his word and help his servant to pray.
O thou most holy and eternal Lord God, how we need thee now to breathe into our heart a breath of real prayer. Lord, we thank thee for thy sparing mercies in once again gathering us together in thy name. Now, as we gather together, Lord, may our precious Jesus be known and felt in the midst. Lord, we pray that it may be as in thy word it was noise that Jesus was within the house. Oh, we pray for a sweet and sacred sense of thy sweet presence. O Lord, may we be favoured to hear thy voice. Oh, that thou wouldst speak to our souls. We would pray with the hymn writer, speak and let thy servants hear. And O Lord, may there be a true spirit of hearing too, Lord. Now we need thee to touch our ears and our hearts, Lord, and that we may receive thy word in faith, and that faith may be mixed with all we do, or all we think or say. O Lord, as we come before thee, we come just as we are. We've nothing to bring of ourselves. Our very best is stained and dyed with sin. Our all is nothing worth. But oh, we pray for that great gift of gifts, the gift of heartfelt repentance. Oh, how we need it, Lord. Oh, that where you might have a true repenting heart, a heart to confess our sins before thee, a heart to weep over our sins, a heart, Lord, to plead for mercy. Oh, how we need thee to take us down to the washing. And Lord, do put us in with thy own hands, and that will do us good. May we know the sweet application of thy precious blood in our souls. We may know our pardon signed and our peace procured. Oh, we pray, dear Lord, for a truly soft heart. Lord, we much to mourn over because of our sins, and now we need thee to take away that stony heart and grant to us a heart of flesh and of feeling. And O Lord, may we have that true feeling religion, that religion that thou art the author of and the finisher of, and that we may be found upon that blessed rock, even Jesus, One said, on this firm rock believers build. Oh, may all our hope be stayed on thee. Oh, deliver us, Lord, from ourselves and from this world and from everything of the creature. And help us, there, Lord, to lean hard upon thee. Oh, may we be like the dear spouse, Lord, when she came up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved. Oh, Lord, we do need thee to give us more and more faith. We seem so often so faithless. Oh, remove from us all the unbelief. And help us, Lord, to plead as the hymn writer did. Oh, could I but believe, then all would easy be. Lord, when thou dost give faith, how easy then it is to believe. Lord, we seem so often so faithless. And thou hast said, be not faithless, but believing. Oh Lord, we pray to have that good hope beyond the grave. Oh, may we be delivered from all false hopes. But oh, may all our hope be stayed on thee. Oh, we seek thy rich blessing, Lord, upon each one that's gathered this evening. Oh, that thou wouldst come and suit thyself to every sinner's case. Who hear the silent prayers, Lord, and cries and groans of thy people. Oh, do send down those answers of peace. Oh, we do pray, dear Lord, that those that are in a low place may be lifted up. Lord, thou alone canst lift up thy cast down people. And those, Lord, that are tempted sore by Satan, do deliver them from the tempter's power. Oh, do come and set at liberty those in bondage. Lord, thou knowest the bondage many feel. Oh, that thou wilt say those precious words, loose him and let him go. May there be many, Lord, in these dark days, loosed and let go. And may we not be a hindrance to any, Lord, or to bring any into bondage. Oh, we pray that thou would apply thy word with divine power, that it may be a food to the hungry and drink to the thirsty. Take away the fears, Lord, of those that are fearful. Grant them a fear not. Oh, do come and quieten the hearts of those that are troubled and tossed around, Lord. Sweetly assure them of that precious promise thou hast left on record. I will be with him in trouble and will deliver him. Lord, thou hast all power to, oh, do grant deliverance to thy troubled people. And those in affliction, Lord, we would lovingly commend them to thee. Oh, if it be thy holy will, oh, do send that needed healing. For thou hast said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Oh, may there be granted that speedy recovery to those laid aside. Lord, we pray that in all the afflictions of thy people, they may be led to view the afflictions thou didst endure. O Lord, being able to say his way was much rougher and darker than mine, did Christ my Lord suffer, and shall I repine? O ever deliver, Lord, us from rebelliousness or hardness. May there be that grace given to be submissive to thy mind and will. And O Lord, do sanctify, we pray, these afflictions. May there be a blessing in them all. Prepare each one of us, Lord, for the great day of death. Lord, one of old said in the hymn that plagues and deaths around us fly. Oh, we pray to be ready, to have our lamps filled and trimmed, waiting for thy coming. Oh, may we not be lacking in anything that's vital when the hour of death comes. And oh, may we be fully prepared, and as a shock of corn fully ripe, waiting for the harvest. Oh, do come, Lord, and grant to us each that grace to endure to the end and to hold on our way. Do send thy quickening spirit forth and quicken many into life in these dark days. May there be an awakening of many sinners round, even in this village and in this area, Lord, to come and fill the place. May it be so around our own flock. Oh, that there may be a filling of the empty seats throughout Zion with real hungry souls crying, "Give me Christ, or else I die." Dear Lord, we seek thy rich blessing upon all in need, whatever be their state or case, to bring to fruition those exercises that are real in thy time and way, and dry up, Lord, all that is only flesh. Bless the ministry of thy dear servants, to grant them that gracious anointing whene'er they stand in thy holy name, and may they be the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. Dear Lord, we do pray for thy rich blessing upon our own flock as they gather for prayer this evening, and do grant, Lord, that real fervent wrestling prayer. Lord, we would pray for thy rich blessing upon them and upon us as we gather this evening, and upon this cause of truth. We thank thee, Lord, for what thou hast done, and all thy goodness. We pray that there may be a gracious influx into the church, and too in our own flock at home, thy people made willing in the day of thy power. And oh, may there be yet many born again throughout Zion. For thou hast said of Zion, it shall be said that this man and that man was born there. And oh, we pray, dear Lord, for thee to revive thy work throughout Zion. Grant to thy dear servants those souls to their hire and seals to their ministry. May thy servants be endued with that power from heaven, and the word may go forth with divine power and bring forth fruit to thy honour, to thy glory. Do help the deacons, dear Lord, in all the burden and weight and responsibility they have. Do send healing to one unable to be with us. Thou hast healed him many times before, Lord, from the depths of affliction. We pray that thou wilt yet again, if it would please thee, help our dear brother with us and bless the hymns he gives him. And may there be those times of sweet flowing together between pulpit, desk and pew. And O Lord, do remember this guilty nation. Help us to pray for thee to work mightily in our leaders and rulers, and turn them from serving Satan and serving themselves, Lord, to serve thee. And may thy grace and fear be put in our Queen and the royal family, that they might truly fear thy holy name, and all in high office in the land. May there be, from our Queen downwards, a real turning to the Lord, a seeking and begging for his appearing. May the crooked things in this nation yet be made straight, and all the laws that are contrary to thy word overturned and rooted out. And may we once again be a land of the book, Lord, a land that seeks thee. We would praise thee for all thy great mercies in providence and in grace, all thy favours toward us, unworthy as we are. We pray thou would anoint us to speak a few things in thy holy name. Lord, do touch our lips with that live coal from off thy heavenly altar, and touch the ears and hearts of thy people, and may thy word have free course and be glorified. Forgive what we've uttered amiss, all our many sins. Make up, dear Lord, where we so fail. Lord, do come and reveal thyself to us, as thou dost not unto the world. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Part of hymn number 306, concluding at verse 4. And we'll hope to sing the remaining two verses for our last hymn. Hymn 306, concluding at verse 4. Oh, the pangs by Christians felt when their eyes are open, when they see the gulfs of guilt they must wade and grope in, when the hell appears within, causing bitter anguish, and the loathsome stench of sin makes the spirit languish. Hymn 306, concluding at verse 4.
Thank you.
asking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to the chapter we read, the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 26 and the third verse. Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. The 26th chapter of Isaiah and verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. By nature, the mind of man is stayed on the things of time and on this world, the things that are perishing. But our text speaks of whose mind is stayed on thee, stayed on the Lord. Now, how can man have his mind stayed on the dear Lord Jesus? It is only because the Lord has wonderfully called him by divine grace, given him a mind, or her a mind, to be stayed on the dear Redeemer. You know, when a little babe is born, it is born naturally with all its faculties. And one of the faculties that it's blessed with is a mind. And you soon see how that little babe's mind begins to work. Without that babe being born, it would have no mind. It could never desire anything. And so it is in the vital things of God. When Christ is formed in the heart of the Lord's dear children, they still have their natural mind that thinks of the things of this earth and lawful things, but he gives them a new mind, a new heart. And that mind is to think. And we think of what the dear Saviour said, those very searching words, and didn't he, when he said to the disciples, what think you of Christ? Well, without them having a true spiritual mind, they could never think rightly of him, and nor can you or I. There were many, as Mr. Newton spoke of in the hymn, that thought him a creature to be, or a prophet at most. But with this new heart, with this new mind, it thinks of rightly of the dear Redeemer. It wants to think of him. We think of what the dear poet said, and dear John Newton knew it ever so well, didn't he? If asked what of Jesus I think, though still my best thoughts are but poor, he is my meat and my drink, my portion, my Lord and my all, whose mind is stayed on me. Now, to bring it right home to us each here this evening, and the Lord is the witness, where is your mind and mine stayed tonight? It's a wonderful thing, you know, naturally, to have a sound mind. It's a great favour to have a sound mind naturally. There are many poor souls around in the earth whose minds are very unstable in a natural way. But what a wonderful mercy to have a mind that is stayed on a precious Christ, fixed upon Him, of a sound mind. And this is a wonderful gift the Lord gives to His dear people. One thought as we came here this evening, those words that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. He says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you. In other words, he was addressing the church at Philippi that he so loved, they hadn't got to do anything to hinder that mind being in them. What does the hymn writer say? It's been a word that has been very precious to me over the years. Blessed is the man, O God, whose mind is stayed on thee. Who waits for thy salvation, Lord, shall thy salvation see. Now, the Lord will bring us into places if we're His dear children. And He's given this mind to seek Him and to serve Him and to love Him and to adore Him. When He will bring us into places so our mind is stayed on Him. We cannot stay it upon Him in and of ourselves. It's impossible. You may get up in the morning and you may think, well, today, as the carnal man may think, well, I'll spend the day with my mind stayed on the Lord and on His wondrous work. How far do you get in the day before you find your mind is somewhere else? Or you may even go into the house of God and you feel, well, I'll leave the things of time and the things we've been in the day, and we'll leave them all behind and we'll stay our minds on the Lord. It may be for 5 minutes you have sweet meditation and then your mind goes off onto something else that you've been in the day. Some of the old preachers used to say, there's more daily business done on a Lord's day in the house of God of worldly things than there is of that which is real. And you think how solemn that is. We've got a carnal mind that's prone to wander, a carnal heart that's prone to wander, and prone to leave the God we love. But you see, the Lord in His rich mercy will stay our minds upon Him. I think and He will use various means to do it. Sometimes He's pleased to use the path of affliction to draw our thoughts, our hearts away from the things of time to consider Him. Dear Mr. Hickman, the vicar that passed away the other day, one day I went to see him and he said, I've been thinking of the affliction that I'm in. He said, but you know, the Lord has used it to stay my mind upon Him. He said, I've thought of the pain and anguish that I've been in, but he said, immediately, he said, the Lord drew me away from it to consider Him and the sufferings that He endured. And you see, the Lord used it to draw His mind away from time things and away from Himself And it's a wonderful thing, you know. The Lord can do it in a moment. And he quoted that word of the dear hymn writer. It's a very precious word, really. His way was much rougher and darker than mine. Did Christ my Lord suffer, and shall I repine? You think of that word in the prophecy of Malachi, where we read of those that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. We can never think naturally, as I said at the commencement, without a mind. It's impossible. And so it is spiritually. This is why the world cannot think on the vital things of God, because the Lord has not given them a mind, a heart to do it. Oh, it will soften your heart sometimes, and mine, won't it, when we think who has made us to differ. We could have been just the same. We look back in our unregenerate days and we think of, if we were left in those days, where would we be today? With our mind fixed on perishing things of time. Oh, think of that beautiful word that Paul wrote to the Hebrews. I so often quoted at the Lord's Supper. What did Paul say? For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Some of you may be walking in hard things, difficult things, trying things tonight, both in your pathway, in your soul, in your circumstances. And you think your lot and mine is hard, don't we? But you consider him. Think of that beautiful word, for consider him. They could never consider him without a mind, could they? And what does that mind, what does it really mean in its simplicity? It means good thinking. Thinking upon Christ. Thinking of what he endured. Thinking upon the words that he spoke to his dear disciples and to those while here upon the earth. And think upon what he's spoken to you. Let us ever remember this word, whose mind is stayed on thee. And why name this to commence this evening? You may wonder why I didn't begin at the beginning. Because the promise that is given at the beginning of this text, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Who will he keep in perfect peace? Those whose mind is stayed on thee. Stayed on thee. And I tell you what, poor soul, if your mind is stayed on him for a few moments in the day, the sweetness of it, the reality of it, you'll say, Lord, keep me in this mind. Keep me in this posture. There's one of our hymns, I don't know what the number is now, but speaks of it, in this posture may I live, in this posture may I die, when our mind is stayed on him. And then, if it's stayed on him, it's secure upon him, isn't it? Oh, it is. It's fixed upon him. He's the one thing that is needful. You know, that's a very searching word, isn't it, what the Saviour said to dear Martha, but one thing is needful. We have many things naturally that are needful, haven't we? But he comes home ever so close, doesn't he? He says, but one thing is needful. And who is the one thing needful? The dear Lord Jesus. Oh, to be, have our minds stayed on that one thing. And then as we come to this season of year, and I seek to be led into this, may our minds not just be stayed on Bethlehem and stayed on his wondrous birth, but may they be stayed in this sense, that we might know that he came into this earth to suffer, bleed and die for us. Or to be led by faith to Bethlehem's manger, to behold the precious Lamb of God, the precious babe of Bethlehem. Well, there's a beautiful illustration there, isn't it? You think of the wise men. When they went to Herod, they asked him a very wonderful question, really. They said to him, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Their minds were stayed upon the dear Redeemer. All they wanted was to find him. We sung of it in our opening hymn, didn't we? Think of dear Job. "Oh, that I knew where I might find him." You see, Job's heart was stayed upon Christ. There was all his hope. There was all his salvation. There was only one thing to Job that was needful, and that was the dear Lord Jesus. Oh, to have our mind stayed on him. And may it be so not only while we're in the house of God and the truth is being preached, but may we when we go home and through the day, you can be in the busy scenes of life, you know, and your mind is stayed on him. Oh, stayed on Christ. Some years ago, I went to, when I was doing the probation period at Ashwell, I preached at Ashwell on the Lord's Day, and I had to go to Forest Gate, and preach in the evening. And when I got to the chapel, I felt in such a dark place, I thought I should never be able to preach. But the Lord helped me through the service. I can't remember anything about it at all now, but one thing I remember, all the darkness and sorrow that I was in, and mainly because of the sin in my heart, and the unbelief. But, you know, as I went to walk out of the chapel, and I feared to go out of the chapel for fear that I come into more darkness than ever. And as I walked toward the door, the Lord dropped that verse of the hymn with such sweetness into my soul. Blessed is, and may it be blessed to us here this evening, keep your eyes on Jesus' feet. And there your hope to stay. His goodness he will make to pass before you in the way. And you know, I drove down that old A20 past Brands Hatch, and there were thousands of people coming out of Brands Hatch. And I thought, well, they've had their minds stayed on something. On the motor racing and everything. And I thought, you know, my every step of that journey back home into Kent, my mind was stayed on him. I just didn't want anything of the earth at all. And I remember going by Brands Hatch and my heart ached for those poor people. They got their mind stayed on something that was perishing. I hope my poor heart was stayed on the dear Redeemer. And the Lord brought me into that dark place to speak that word, keep your eyes. It's a beautiful word, and on Jesus fixed. And when you are fixed upon him, you're stayed upon him, and you won't want anything else. It's none but Jesus, the hymn writer said, can do helpless sinners good, whose mind is stayed on Him, stayed on Thee. But then He may use the ministry to direct you, you see, that your poor mind might be stayed on Him, directing you away from self, directing you away from your troubles, directing you away from all the grief and anguish there is within, and directing you to the dear Redeemer. What does the wise man say? Let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyelids straight before thee. The trouble is, we're often looking at this, aren't we? Looking at that. Our mind is taken up with this or with that, when it should be stayed upon Christ. May this be the occupation of each of our hearts from this hour onwards, to be stayed on Him. The margin tells us concerning this mind, or thoughts upon Him. Thoughts upon Him. But then, let's look at the promise that is given to this soul, who the Lord has set their mind upon a dear Redeemer. They haven't set it there themselves. The Lord has stayed their poor minds on Him. Before I look at the promise, I think I was reading in some of the old gleaners and different old books of late, and you know, some wonderful illustrations of this. Some godly dear, godly ladies, and godly men, how the Lord brought them into varied circumstances in their pathway, in their families, and in the Church of God, to direct them so their minds were stayed on Him. And they are stayed on Him while they're in the house of God. They used to walk home, and they walked miles to their home, and all their hearts were stayed on Christ. Oh, to have such days today, like they were favoured with. They had little of this earth, but they had everything in the dear Redeemer, and their heart was stayed on Him. But then, think of this beautiful promise. The soul that is, whose mind is stayed on the Lord, He's promised this: thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee. Perfect peace. The margin tells us, peace, peace. Oh, your heart may be tossed around tonight, troubled by sin, troubled by unbelief, buffeted by Satan. But what can alter all that in a moment? The Lord give you peace. It's like the dear disciples, you know, when they were tossed around in the sea. And the child of God is so often, aren't they, tossed around by the waves, by the tumult, by the wind. But what did Jesus do? He made that sea calm. And what was the peace? We don't seem to have the thunderstorms nowadays like we used to when I was a boy, and often where we lived in Kent, the storms used to rock between Cranbrook and the hills of Sutton Valence, and the storm seemed to get in that valley, and it went on and on for hours often. But when it subsided, there was a wonderful sense of peace. And you know, I've often thought about that. And that was a natural illustration. But you know, with the Lord's dear people. When he speaks peace, no man can give trouble. And these that have their minds stayed on him, he will keep them in perfect peace. Oh yes. And he alone can give peace. My mind goes to the dear disciples. You know, it's been with me much of late. Think of those dear disciples before Christ went to Calvary. In John 14, as he tells them he's going to leave them, all the troubles of their heart, the sorrows that came upon them. But what did he say to them? Well, we know he said to them, and may he say it to you and me, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. But oh, you go further on in the chapter. He speaks this beautiful word. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He breathes into their poor troubled hearts peace as he leaves them. Peace I leave with you. Oh, may the Lord favour you and favour me tonight with a sweet taste of that peace. And that peace is Calvary's peace. And where does that peace flow from? Well, of course it flowed from the dear Lord Jesus himself, but it was to flow through his precious blood that he was to shed at Calvary. There's a wonderful peace when the precious blood of Jesus is sweetly applied. It brings peace. Oh, it does. It brings peace. And it'll be a perfect peace. It will. A peace that is far greater than any natural peace. It's a peace, well, Paul tells us what it was like and is like. When he wrote to the Philippians and he said, a peace that passeth all understanding. You cannot describe the preciousness, the reality, the sacredness of it. It passeth all understanding. But then let's go further. The dear Redeemer. He bore all incarnate God could bear with strength enough to none to spare. Lays down his precious life for poor sinners. And then on the resurrection morn, he gloriously arose. And when he went to those dear disciples, when they were gathered in the upper room, what did he say to them? Really, it was a wonderful continuance of what he told them before he left them. And what was it? Peace be unto you. And he confirms it again too. Oh, may the Lord give you a sweet taste tonight of that peace of heaven. Heaven begun below, a sacred peace. And may he confirm it like he did to those dear disciples. He confirmed it to their souls. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. And you see, the Lord can keep you in it. That peace. And it won't matter what comes, nothing can mar that peace. The professor of religion, he may speak of peace, but when you come to such characters as that, and you speak about being in the depths of trouble or the depths of affliction, and the Lord coming and giving you peace, and yet all the circumstances are still the same, and yet there's peace in your soul, and they cannot begin to understand it. I've had several that have said to me, we just cannot understand it. I've seen some of the Lord's dear children in the hospital, and they're in the depths of affliction, and yet in their souls there's complete peace. He's lifted them above the affliction, above the surroundings, above all they're in. And there's this peace in their souls. It's a sacred place, you know. They look down on the trouble, like if you're an aeroplane, you look down on the clouds. The clouds were there, the trouble, the affliction, but they were lifted above it all. And that's a blessed place, you know. You can look down on it all, and oh, the peace within. He passeth all understanding, the dear apostle says. Thou wilt keep him. Notice the word in thou, the eternal God. Thou wilt keep him. No man can. In perfect peace. As I said earlier, the margin says, peace, peace. It's lasting peace, this is, you say. Peace, peace. Whose mind is stayed on thee. Oh, we think too of dear Hannah. You think of that dear woman in all her trouble and of soul, of circumstance, and the enemy besetting on every side. Eli completely misjudged her, thought she was drunken. But what does the Lord do? He sends Eli back with a message from heaven. And what was it? Go in peace. And the God of Israel grant thee thy petition thou hast asked of him. He sent her away in peace. She hadn't got Samuel yet, but she got the prospect that he was on the way. Go in peace. And oh, the peace that dear woman enjoyed. Go in peace. The same applied with the dear Saviour when he spoke to the dear woman with the issue of blood. You remember how she comes through all the crowds pressing to touch the border of his garment in all her weakness, in all her affliction. And as soon as she touched, what did the Saviour say? I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. Somebody hath touched me. Oh, to be among those somebody that hath touched him. She was in great need, wasn't she? She touched and was made whole. And what did the dear Saviour say to her? These beautiful words. Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Go in peace. Oh, may the Lord whisper this. I hadn't meditated or thought about saying it at all this evening, but may the Lord grant to some poor soul hear that tonight. Go in peace. It may be in following the dear Redeemer. It may be that you've got to go in peace from this service and venture on, stayed upon the Lord, resting upon him. Go in peace. And when he says, go in peace, poor soul, he'll make even your enemies to be at peace with you. We will. Go in peace. We think of that beautiful hymn on this sacred subject, really. This glorious man thy peace shall be. Think of what we read in Micah, this man shall be the peace. The dear prophet prophesied that the dear Redeemer would come, and this man shall be thy peace. When thou canst no deliverance see, this glorious man, thy peace shall be. Oh, may the Lord favour us with this. Thou wilt keep him. No other can but the Lord, in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Because he trusteth in thee. This soul, you see, is brought to trust wholly in the dear Redeemer. They're brought away from trusting in themselves, trusting in any arm of flesh, trusting anything of time. Why? Because it's all perishing. It's all failing. There's no stability in it. But trusting wholly in the dear Redeemer, in his finished work, because he trusteth in thee. The hymn writer said, oh, beware of trust ill grounded. If I know anything of this trusting in the Lord, we've had to come to the place where we couldn't trust anywhere else. Why? Because all other ground, the hymn writer said, is sinking sand. Oh, to be trusting in him. What does the psalmist say? Trust in him at all times, ye people. Not just when we think we should, at all times. Daniel, when he went into the den of lions, the only place he could trust was in his God. And for us to trust in him, we must have living faith. Oh, to have a grain of faith to trust in the dear Lord Jesus. Trust him. He will not deceive you. You think too of David when he went to fight Goliath. He couldn't put his trust, could he, in Saul's armour? Why? Because he hadn't proved it. But he could trust in his God. With all the onslaughts of Goliath, he proved, David did, that the only place to trust was in the Lord as he ventures forth into that battle. And you think what you venture forth in from this hour tonight. None of us know what an hour or a moment to bring forth, but oh, to be found trusting in the Lord. They shall not be ashamed, these souls that trust in him. Because he trusteth in thee. You see, the blessing is for those whose mind is stayed on the Lord. Because he trusteth in him, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Oh, to be found there, trusting wholly in the finished work of the dear Redeemer. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. The devil may suggest to you tonight, but it's not for you, poor soul, it's for many others. But you plead this before the Lord. The Lord has said this. It's not my word. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. This word, you know, what Isaiah speaks to the dear people of God here in the land of Judah, was a word they needed from heaven. Oh, it was. And it was the Lord that was to fulfill it. And he goes on to say, trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Now these sacred promises that are yea and amen in Christ Jesus are left on record for the help and the encouragement of the Lord's dear children and will be to the end of time. And may the Holy Spirit apply it to us this evening, this sacred word, that it may be life and power to us, not only today, but in the days to come. Finally, each one of us must come down to the swellings of Jordan. How shall I stand in that great day? Oh, that our minds, as we come down into the river, may be stayed upon a precious Christ. On this firm rock, believers build. And oh, as we come down into the river, trusting in him, mind stayed upon him, that we might know this blessed peace, eternal peace, everlasting peace, peace that will know no end. It's tasted here. The fullness of it will be known in glory. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Field will preach for us again next Lord's Day, and Mr. Timothy Rosier on Wednesday next week. Let us close with the last two verses of hymn 306, commencing at verse 5. Vengeance, when the Saviour died, quitted the believer. Justice cried, I'm satisfied. Now, henceforth, forever, it is finished, said the Lord in his dying minute. Holy Ghost, repeat the word, full salvation's in it. Hymn 306, verse 5.
Dear Lord, do come over the poverty of our poor feebler tents. Do apply thy precious word to our souls. May we not leave it on the chapel doorstep. Do forgive anything that's been amiss. Take us into thy kind care and keeping. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.